All right, Chase Kitty is the host of the Lion's Edge podcast from BetMGM. And let's just look big picture first, Chase. We went through some of the games we like for week 13, the lines. Again, there's a lot of different ways you could look at it, right? I mean, to me, the two games that intrigue me the most are what the Browns and Deshaun Watson look like in Houston. I think there's a lot of emotion involved around that, which could give Houston an opportunity to cover the touchdown in that. Then there's also Kansas City at Cincinnati, where Kansas City is a 2.5-point road favorite. What games do you look at right now and just say, oh, that's one of my favorites on the slate?
Well, as usual, PJ and I are kind of in lockstep without even comparing notes, really. I love the Houston spot. You know, I talk every week about how I'm a marketplace bettor, and I like to look at line movement, and I like to look at, you know, pro Joe spots and ticket handle splits, and all of that's true. They're the metrics that I think make you a long-term winner over time. But every once in a while, you see a spot where you're like, no, I want to bet the football side of that game. And I look at that Browns-Texans game and how the only thing the Texans can really competently do on offense is run the football, power football, Damian Pierce. Like, that's their one bright spot on that team offensively. And what are the Cleveland Browns really bad at? PFF has them as the 31st ranked run defense in the NFL. I think the Texans can shorten that game by running the ball. I think they can find success on the ground. And I think PJ nailed it in the last segment. You take Texans plus the 7, and you take a little dart throw on the outright win for Houston at plus 260. It's exactly how I'm playing it.
Love that, Chase. And you know what? You take that Long Island plus 33 you have tonight. They're currently, Chase, they're down 30 right now with 40 seconds to go, so hopefully you can hang on. And maybe you put it on the Jets plus 3 against Minnesota. I like the Jets quite a bit this week, too. I think it's a tough spot for Minnesota, Chase. Think about the Vikings. They played Buffalo. Then they had to get up for the Cowboys game, even though they didn't play well. Then you have Thanksgiving against the Patriots. I know it's 1 o'clock, Kirk Cousins. We just talked about, though, how the Texans will be able to run on the Browns. Justin Jefferson's pretty much unguardable, but if there's one guy that can contain him, it's Sauce Gardner. So it feels like a good matchup for the Jets and a good spot to fade the Vikings. What are your thoughts on this game?
Well, you're spot on with knowing that I'm pulling double duty right now, watching LIU try to close this cover
there
out.
You go.
You know it's college basketball season when you're watching a 30-point blowout between St. John's and a New York school whose best hope is to be a 16 seed in the NCAA tournament. I think how you handicap Mike White is the key to the game. And I remember last year Mike White came in at some point around this part of the season, and he played a couple of games. And the first game he showed up, I think I even hosted a Twitter space for BetMGM before the game or something. It might have been Monday Night Football. And I was saying, you know, these backup quarterbacks, like, make fun of Mike White all you want, but they come in and there's not a lot of tape on them, and they're just asked to do enough to win. And Mike White wins that game. But then he plays 3 or 4 more games, and every game he's less and less effective. And I wonder if we're going to see something like that here over the next few weeks, where he looked awesome last weekend, all right? But every successive week where teams have the ability to watch his tape and scheme things up defensively more and more, he's going to become a more and more average player, is my suspicion. So I think that you're going to have opportunities to bet against the Jets over the next couple of weeks. I think that can be a little intimidating because of how offensively powerful it seems they are when they've got everything going right. They're just a nice, balanced team with talent spread around the roster. So it can be a little nerve-wracking, and for that reason, I think the best option is maybe just to stay away from that spot. But to me, it feels like the you can get ahead of the market, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, by looking for spots to fade the Jets. Maybe that makes you think about Minnesota.
Yeah, and the Jets' roommates at MetLife are the Giants, who are 2.5-point home dogs to my Washington Commanders, who suddenly now have a little respect around the NFL, and it feels good. It's a personal thing for me, and I try not to bet too much emotionally with any of my teams, unless I'm fading the Commanders. Normally that was the case. It's a weird situation for me to be in right now, Chase, to see the Commanders on the road against the 7-4 Giants team and be a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I totally get that. Like, I'm down here in Richmond, so, I'm not in D.C., I'm not in Maryland like you guys. But when you're down here in this part of Virginia, you're basically in Commander's land anyway. It's not that different from being in D.C. And the fervor is ubiquitous, really. But I keep waiting for the Taylor Heineke stuff to end. I keep waiting for the regression to come. I bet against the Commanders last weekend. I flirted pretty heavily with betting against them when they went to Houston. It just hasn't happened yet, and I'm kind of tired of losing my money waiting for it to end. So I think the spot is to lean toward Washington. I would bet the Commanders in the spot if I was going to bet it. That's mostly because I believe in the Giants even less than I believe in the Commanders, which is always an interesting spot to be in. It's more of a play against the Giants than a play on the Commanders. But I think I'm with you. I think I lean toward your squad.
Chase, couple of NFL games this week where the spreads are minus one, pretty much pick 'em type games. You have the Steelers at the Falcons, and you have the Jags at the Lions. Between those two games, if you had to choose one to make a wager, what would you take?
Can I take Detroit against the Jags, like straight up?
Yeah, sure.
Can I have that side?
Absolutely.
I think we have really like shot our wad kind of early on the Jags. Like the Ravens win was nice, but I think you and I were talking last week, PJ, about how like, boy, this number is kind of weird that it's Jags 4, not Jags 6. And then yeah. It goes down to 3.5. And I think that was foreseeable as a spot where maybe the Ravens were going to have some trouble. I think they have some problems defensively. We've kind of said that all year. So I'm not ready to lionize the Jaguars, I guess, no pun intended, just because they got a nice win. Like, it's a long season, and sometimes teams lose head-scratching games, especially flawed teams like the Ravens. So I feel like the hype train is getting kind of out of control this week on Jacksonville. Now we're getting the Lions as sort of a short home dog from what I've seen, the numbers out there. And Detroit's played really well the last month. You look at their last five games, they won three outright as dogs. The other two, they played really good teams, playoff teams, Buffalo and Miami. They were one-score games. So I think Detroit, at least for how they're playing right now, clearly the better team here. They're playing at home. I like them to win outright, and I don't really have to lay any points, which I don't want to because it's Detroit.
Talking to Chase Kidde here on BetMGM tonight. I'm looking at the Dolphins, four-point dogs on the road at the 49ers this weekend. I mean, the Dolphins are obviously one of the surprises of the NFL this season. I don't think there's any question. Tua Tagovailoa has looked like an actual legit quarterback. He still has missed some games. He's been on, you know, missed time because he's gotten hurt. We expect that to happen. But in reality, the Dolphins are a great story. They're fun to watch this year. Their offense is absolutely incredible. I look at them right now with the sixth best odds, 12-1. To win the Super Bowl. I know we still got a lot of regular season to go, but looking at the futures market there, if they were to go in to Santa Clara and beat the 49ers, not just cover, but go in and actually win outright in that game, how much could we expect those odds to shorten for them to win the Super Bowl? And look, is there any value with them at 12-1 right now to say, it's kind of been a wide open NFL season, who knows?
Well, I think just on the rules of the market, if you like them, you bet them now before they go to San Francisco for exactly the scenario you've laid out. Like if they go to San Francisco and win, the odds are going to shorten because people are going to bet them. That's just how it works. So that doesn't mean if they go to San Francisco, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean if they go to San Francisco and lose, then they can't win the Super Bowl. But just the ebbs and flows of the market and how people bet, that number is going to go in the wrong direction if you want to bet Miami. So I'm guessing people that like Miami probably already have the ticket. I think the two and on people are out in force. They make their feelings known about the fate of the Dolphins this year. I think it's a legit bet. I think they remind me a lot of what the Bengals kind of looked like down the stretch last year. So I think even if you're not necessarily betting on the Dolphins to win, let me rephrase, even if you're not necessarily expecting the Dolphins to win, holding a ticket on the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl, or I would say maybe more appropriately to win the AFC, gives you hedge spots down the road. But I mean, I think in terms of how open the AFC is, like beyond the Chiefs and maybe the Bills, like somebody's going to compete there and be in the mix, and it might as well be Miami.
Yeah, Miami's offense looks really, really good right now. Chase, want to talk to you about championship weekend over in college football. We just had the release of the playoff rankings. I just want to get your thoughts. We know Georgia and Michigan, they're safe. Even if they lose, they're going to be in. USC has to win to get in. TCU is really the interesting team. Do you think it depends on the type of game that they play? If they lose a three-point game, do they still get in, or do you think if they lose it all, they're going to be out? And obviously, if they win, then they're going to remain in the playoff.
Well, I think it totally depends on what you think of the Big 12 and what the committee thinks of the Big 12. I'm a Big 12 guy, so I'm not unbiased here. But I think when you look at the depth of the Big 12, 1 through 10, there were no easy outs, zero easy outs in that conference this year. There was no Kansas this year. Kansas is a bowl team. So I really think for them to be undefeated going into the Big 12 game is pretty impressive. I think, personally, if you go into the Big 12 championship game against a really good Kansas State team you've already beaten once, and you're playing at a technically neutral site, although the game is in Arlington, Fort Worth and Arlington, it's kind of like driving from D.C. to Fredericksburg. Like, it's going to be a mostly TCU home crowd. But if you lose that game and you're a one-loss team, you're 12-1 with a good loss, the reason the committee would punish them is because, historically speaking, it matters when you lose. But that's a stupid reason. If you're grading one-loss teams against each other, it should be about overall record and, like, the strength of your record and what your loss means in context. Now, I don't think they're going to do any of that, and I think, historically, the committee doesn't really value the Big 12 maybe the way I think they should. But I think TCU would be in trouble, and that's kind of what I've said all year, is that if TCU wants to feel comfortable, even if it's not fair, they need to be 13-0 with the Big 12 championship at the end of the year. And not for nothing, I've got a 14-1 TCU to win the Big 12 ticket, so I would like them to be 13-0 as well.
Ooh. There you go. You going to hedge on that at all?
I mean, I think I have to.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
Under 3-point spread, you kind of got to hedge just on the half.
USC is also a 3-point favorite up against Utah this weekend. I think we all knew there was certainly going to be a level of hype around USC given Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams and all of the free agents essentially that they got in the offseason. But you know, as of right now, the way the college football playoff rankings sit, it would be USC against Georgia. USC, we know their defense is a liability, but their offense is really spectacular. Would you give them any shot against a team like Georgia, or would this be a one and done? Obviously, they need to get through Utah first.
I think we've got enough history with Lincoln Riley and those Oklahoma teams to know they are offensively gifted. They will continue to look impressive throughout the regular season, especially on offense, game in, game out, week in, week out. And then they go play an SEC team that's really good, and it's kind of not competitive. I mean, that's what we've seen in the past. I think this USC team, in terms of just, you know, the compilation of talent they've assembled, is probably less talented than some of those Oklahoma teams that went to the playoff. So I wouldn't expect a really competitive game. I think the much more interesting thing in terms of handicap at USC is actually this weekend against Utah, because everybody and their mother wants to buy a USC ticket right now. And the books open that USC-Utah game in Las Vegas at USC -1. They were begging for Trojans action, and now the number is 3, which is still kind of begging for Trojans action. It's like 80% of the tickets on USC. That seems like a Utah spot from everything I know about betting, when you're just begging people to bet the other side. But I am not keen to stand in front of that USC offense right now, especially in a revenge spot, neutral site. So it's going to be a fun watch, but I am really fascinated by how the game has been priced by the sports books.
All right, he's Chase Kiddy. Make sure you check out the Lions Edge podcast from BetMGM. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Chase.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated to see. I know I'm looking ahead with USC, but I've just, again, that's more of a storyline-based situation, but they've lived up to the hype, at least offensively, this year.
Oh, yeah.
If they go in and they beat Utah, I mean, that team's in the college football playoff.
100%.
And if the rankings look the same when it's all said and done, their offense up against Georgia's defense is going to be a spectacular matchup to see who comes through.
It is. Real quick, do you think TCU gets in even with a loss?
No.
Do you think it depends on, you think they're out with a loss?
I think they're out with a loss. Because you know how this always works. Like, I know Cincinnati kind of changed the narrative.
Right.
But there's always, though, then you can squeeze Ohio State back in, or you can squeeze your Alabama back in. Like, it's not, they may deserve to be in, but that doesn't mean that it's actually the way that it's going to work out.